Hello, my fabulous radio listeners, and welcome to a very, very, very special summer sex talk. I want to first say a special welcome to all the pre-college students here at Carnegie Mellon University. I have a story regarding that. I'll get to that in a moment. But first, I want to thank our listeners for joining us, and we have a very, very special guest. Our very special guest tonight is Piper. Piper is a longtime friend of the show, lesbian, anthropologist, and...
Sexpert.
Sexpert, and all-around coach.
Sorry.
Topless babe? Did you show me your breasts? Have you ever shown me your
breasts? I haven't yet. Is that a prerequisite for the show? Do I need to do that
no,
now?
No, but if, DJ 2000 seems like this miraculous power.
Don't say no, say yes. It's true. I do have a miraculous power to get women to show me their breasts. I mean, I'll take off my shirt. I'll take off all my clothes if you want, although I'm fat. So I don't know how what appeal that, but just to show
you're
that
gorgeous,
I'm
gorgeous, just the way you are.
And I have
you're just fishing for compliments.
You know what I haven't done?
Taking off all your clothes?
Masturbated today?
Watch Judge Judy on tape.
Related yourself?
Let's see. Two of those four things are true. No, I was going to say things that American men, straight American men, do not do enough of.
Shave their chest.
Pubic grooming. I have let my pubic hair grow wild and free, and I think it's unattractive.
Are you dreading
really?
It? Are you, like, you know, going to make dreadlocks?
Do you shave it all the way down?
Well, I use clippers. I use, like, mechanical electric clippers. So I never actually...
Like dog clippers?
Yeah, and then I shave my dog scrotum afterwards. And no, I mean, because as you, I'm sure you know, if you use a blade, it'll get itchy, it's stubbly. It's
red, kind of irritation,
skanky.
Yeah.
But
and you look like a baby boy. Instead of
which, I mean, the show, you know, respects all children. Would not, we don't.
Never dream about.
We never dream about pedophilia. But, you know, as a fantasy, as two consenting adults, being kind of smooth in that way is certainly interesting and different, especially, I mean, I don't know what it is like being a woman, of course. but, you know, the feeling of my silky ball sack, you know, when it's completely shaved like that, it's nice.
And does your partner feel the same way?
Well, no, actually. I mean, we get in a lot of fights over body hair because he actually likes, it's kind of disturbing, he likes kind of hairy men, sort
bears.
Of bear men. And so, you know, he wants me to, like, keep the pubic hair under control, but he doesn't want it like all shaved away or all like super short. Whereas I like it pretty short. I mean, like, you know that guy in Party of Five, Matthew Fox or whatever his name was?
I'm not familiar with his dog.
I've actually seen, disturbingly, I've seen every single episode of Party of Five. But this is like the older brother who was always...
And do they show his ball sack?
Well, no, but he always had this perpetual 5-day shave thing, you know, 5-day shadow or whatever.
And that's what your ball sack looks like?
Yeah, and that's kind of what I like to keep it at. Like, or not
neatly trimmed.
Now keep the ball sack smooth, but the area above the penis.
The buffalo area.
See, I find that interesting because my partner and I, like, we both like to have shaved legs because we like the smoothness against each other.
Really?
But we do not like shaved pubic regions.
Have you ever tried to shave your hoochie region?
Yes.
What was that like? So give us some background. So why did you choose to do that?
Well, a partner requested that I do that.
A partner?
A male partner at the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Trent Lott?
Yeah. And it was a partner who he himself shaved his region because in the Army he had to do that, so.
Really? The Army?
Something about lice, I'm not sure.
Oh.
So anyway, he
you
always know, shaved his region.
You're not talking about Tom of Finland comic? Sorry.
And so he wanted me to shave mine, and so he actually shaved it for me.
Ooh, that's sexy.
Yeah, but he wasn't very good at it, so no, it wasn't.
Do women have hairy butts? Because I also shaved my butt and, like, kind of my
like
butt,
inside or outside?
My butt crack. I don't know. A little column A, a little column B.
Like, my actual, you know, buttocks aren't hairy, but, like, you know, inside.
It's like a downy.
I think we're allowed to say that.
Oh, I think, no, our producer, I saw him press a button. I think he pressed the.
I think we're allowed to say that.
Oh, I think, no, our producer, I saw him press a button. I think he pressed the, that's a bad word button. I'm not sure, though. I think
I didn't get the rundown on the list before I came on the show. What are those words again?
Well, you know, the classics.
Hoochie coochie.
Wankel rotary engine. Vibraphone.
The, Pinot Noir. What's going on over there?
Sorry. We have a special guest in there.
That's right. So,
who is your special guest?
We'll just let her.
So anyway, we were talking about you and your area.
I didn't know this, that women had hairy butts. I thought that was like the one advantage to being a woman is that you didn't have a hairy butt.
Well, you know, not all women have hairy butts.
But it must be like a charming downy fuzz.
Oh, yeah.
And not like
little treasure trail, yeah.
So anyway, you were telling us. So there he was, razor in hand, shaving away.
Right, right. So, you know, he shaved it all, nicked a couple times. But,
ooh, wow.
You know, and then afterwards, I just felt like, you know, I was five, and it just, it did nothing for me, and it really just spoiled the mood, and so we didn't do it ever again.
Really?
And the growing back experience.
That was horrid, actually. I mean, yeah, you got the redness, you got, you know, the pimply stubble, and then it was just horrible. And then it's harder and coarser, it feels like, when it comes back, and just not a good thing altogether.
So are you in the same camp that DJ Smooth and Silky is? Like, do you keep it trimmed
we
or do you
let
it?
Yes, definitely keep it trimmed. Mm-hmm. Trimmed short, but not shaved. Because, you know, that helps when, you know, you don't get so many teeth in your hairs, things like that.
Oh, you're
teeth
talking
in
about
hairs, and teeth
so
in your hairs
like
in your teeth.
Oral sex, like female cunnilingus or whatever it's called.
Are we allowed to say that?
Sure.
Cunnilingus, yes.
Yes, we're not being prurient. This is for the purposes of education.
Mm.
I mean, is there like a, so like, you know, exactly how, what percentage of lesbians like really hairy vaginas compared to the percent that like them, you know, neatly trimmed?
Well, I haven't pulled the entire lesbian population, but out of my friends that we've just sort of talked about it, I would say more would rather have it shaved or, especially most would want to have it trimmed. Some prefer them completely shaved and very few prefer all natural.
That's interesting.
Big Afro-style pubic hair.
Yeah, know? Yeah. It's just, it gets in the way.
See, the thing.
But then, you know, then you talk to feminist lesbians who, you know, the only reason we shave is because, you know, men want us to, so that gets in the way, too.
Except for not in your case, right? Like, no man is holding
you. No, exactly, yeah. No man is telling me I have to shave. But
I'm reminded of when Catherine McKinnon spoke in Pittsburgh many moons ago, 6 years ago. And one of her points was, in all pornography is degrading to women. And somebody stood up in the audience and said, well, I'm gay, and there are only men in my pornography. How is that degrading to women? And her response was, well, one of them takes the female role, and therefore women are degraded by proxy. I think she lost the two adherents that she had in the audience up to that point.
That's a bad line, yeah. Not so good.
She lost the what?
The two, like, fans she had in the audience up to that point. She was fighting an uphill battle against the Pittsburgh crowd, I think.
You think Pittsburghers are into their pornography?
I think so.
So speaking of which, what's with that drive-up sex peep show? I want to go.
Yeah. I remember we talked about this a year or so ago. Like,
is it still open?
Yeah.
Drive-through strip
place. And it's like, what is it, like east of Monroeville? Where is it exactly? It's on like Route 22 somewhere
yeah.
or what?
We should go.
Where it's used most often. $10 a carload.
Oh, really? They charge by a car? No, that's that's handy.
Yeah, that's convenient.
And cleanup, you know, right there. They don't have to do anything.
God bless America.
Like,
have we confused you?
No, I'm just wondering, like, if you're like a car full of straight guys, like, driving up to a peep show, and you're, like, all in the car together, and you're seeing this, like, it's even worse than watching porn together. You're seeing this, like erotic, you know, beautiful woman dancing and showing you her
area.
Most intimate bathing suit area. Like, what do they, I mean, the car must get all steamed up. I mean, they must want to have, like, sex with somebody. Do they, like, turn to each other and just, like.
But why is that different than when they're, like, in a strip joint? Because they're in an enclosed space?
I guess maybe it's not so different. I mean, you make a good point. I don't know why men don't have sex with each other while watching strippers. It's some sort of cultural barrier, I guess. But, you know, it's true in the car.
It depends on which strip joints you go to.
In the car, there are additional, I mean, you know, there are associations with, especially if you're driving like an old, you know, Rambler or whatever, with like a big back seat, right?
And also there are, you know, convenient 12-volt outlets in the dashboard, so you could plug in a variety of toys and mechanical.
Bonus. He's got this all thought out, and he wants to go with you.
I'm a technologist, after all.
Sounds like the two of you will have a fun field trip.
Like, I'm just wondering, like, if you and I, Dr. Sigal-Savalos, went to this drive-in-through strip bar, and then we got kind of drunk in the car, and then, you know, you got aroused.
Right.
And, like, I started groping your crotch.
Would this end up with me, like, soiled and weeping on the floor again? Every time you say, oh, we're just going to go see a movie, I promise.
We're just camping.
It ends up with another 50 hours of therapy for me. but I think we digress. I think we were talking about trimming, shaving.
Yeah, I think we finished that topic.
Well, we did.
I had something to say, actually, if you don't mind. No, no, no. You mentioned that you and your lover like to shave your legs because you like this smooth sensation, right? So you consider that to be analogous to, like, the whole pubic hair trimming thing? Like, you know, there's a certain level of eroticism about the smooth skin.
Right, right, because he was talking about he enjoyed a smooth ball sack, so I was... Right.
Silky.
Wait, silky smooth, yeah. So, yeah, I think that's a big part of, you know, the intimacy and the sexualness and the sensualness is the smooth legs.
And of your friends, again, like, is that more or less common?
Actually, more of my straight friends don't shave their... My straight female friends don't shave their legs than my lesbian friends. Like, almost all... I think all the lesbians I know shave their legs.
I mean, isn't that, like, one of the three canons of lesbianism? Is, you know...
Don't shave your legs.
Overalls, don't shave your legs, and...
Tool belt.
Bias.
Tool belt.
Yeah. I guess that was back in the day.
Back in the day. It's true. It's true. I mean, everything that I learned about lesbians, I mean...
You threw it out the window.
I learned from...
Piper's a 21st century lesbian.
I mean, it was interesting. In the drive over, as we were massaging each other, we were talking about... not only are you a practicing homosexual, but your pets are homosexuals also.
Yes.
And I thought this was interesting. Do you feel like you converted your pets, or do you think they were...
Is this part of your gay agenda that I hear so much about?
You know, I really would like to take credit for this, because, you know, it's a miraculous feat. However, my pets became homosexuals before I did.
So tell us the story. You have... What kind of pets you have?
I have... Now I have a 12-year-old dog who's half Weyher Terrier and half Pekingese, and I have an 8-year-old cat. And both males.
I don't like the sound of this. Do you have a dog and a cat?
Yes, a dog and a cat. They love each other. They eat the same food. They play with string together. They sleep together. They bathe together. Like, everything. They're just, like, you know, partners. Which I think stemmed from when I had the dog when I was in high school with my parents. And my parents had a bunch of cats. And so my dog sort of thought he was a cat. But then I moved away to college, took the dog with me, and he was all alone all day while I was at college. So I decided to get him a cat. So I went and got my dog a pet. And
like some mail order bride.
Exactly. But the cat I chose, the mother had died, and so the cat had weaned early, not quite done weaning. So when I brought the cat home, the cat looked for a nipple.
You see where this is going.
The cat looked for a nipple on the dog?
On the dog. And the dog didn't have any, you know, massively protruding nipples.
However.
Did have one massively protruding something, and that's what the cat sucked on.
And you're still on
it. It took me a long time to break the habit of them.
So I don't know.
They would just, and they would wait, too. They would wait until I had guests over, and then they would come to the middle of the living room and then do it. Like, it was timed. But, so they're very close.
This really happened?
Yeah, so it's like, I don't know, since it was an infant cat and an older dog, that'd be, you know, pedophilic and interbestiality and
it's
homosexual,
like
I
mean, I'm starting to think that the Aryan Brotherhood is right. I mean, this is really sick. And so
but you know, I didn't judge them, they didn't judge me.
Oh, that's beautiful. I'm not sure cats are capable of judging in this sense. Of,
oh, my cat, I think.
Cats are all about judging,
really. It's clear what the dog gets out of it, right? There's no question the dog ends up bad. But the cat, which presumably is seeking nourishment and, you know, life-giving milk from its mother's body, I don't think, you know, dog semen is really...
Comforting. It's just comforting. They're just like a baby sucking on a pacifier. They're not getting any nutrients out of that. But the comfort of the suckle.
The comfort of the suckle.
You'll have to try that line on these pre-college students around campus.
Yeah, what was your pre-college student story?
Well, you know, I'm a little bit worried about it, actually. So I've got this new job, and my kind of new boss is very serious. Kind of a funny guy, but he's very serious at the same time. He's you know, kind of no nonsense. And so I've been trying to talk to him all day because he's in New York and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, the point is, he's like, are you going to be around? I'm like, well, actually, I wanted to go to the gym between these certain hours because I'm like, well, never mind. And he's like, oh, are they closing? And I'm like, well, no, it's just that the pre-college students are here this week or this month or whatever. And the pool is open between 4:30 and 6:30. And there's a good likelihood that if I go there at the right time, you know, they'll be coming out of the pool and dressing and showering and all that. And,
it's good that your boss is Larry Flint and understands these things.
Well, he's not. He's actually. I sort of admire him for this because there's no, like, unlike me, there's no barrier between his mouth and his mind. He's like, he's like, oh my God, are you serious? And I'm like, well, you know, just kidding. I mean, it's.
I thought you were serious.
Put yourself in my shoes, right? Like, if the pool were filled with nubile pre-college women, then there's a chance that you could steam room and shower with them.
Yeah, see, I felt bad afterwards because I mean, I should have taken a stand. Was this like his disguised homophobia, or was it like my own like unacknowledged pedophilia? I could not quite figure out. You know, I don't go after kids, right? I mean, they're like 18.
Or was it just
hopefully.
That barrier in the workplace that you should not have really
Perhaps
crossed?
There was a little oversharing.
Well, you know, I don't. Maybe so. It could be some combination of all three. I mean. Although we had that kind of, I mean, we joke about other things in the, I don't know. I did send him a Haley Joel Osment doll.
Like a plushie? Did you,
It was a real doll, actually.
And so appropriate orifices in it, like the plushies do?
Oh, that is so sick. I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, you know, we are, seriously, the show is 100% against pedophilia, but I hate that kid. I just saw this movie AI, and it's just so, so painful. I mean, if it, you know, I want a little Haley Joel Osment robot that can say, like, you know, I love you, DJ Corey, and then I can just, like,
slap it.
Smack it, right. And, or, I don't know. Is that wrong of me?
Yes.
Well, after the robot holocaust, perhaps you'll get your wish.
But it's true. I mean, the thing is, like, with all the negative things that homosexuals in society have to put up with, you know, all prejudice and sort of institutionalized horribleness, there's one bonus in being a homosexual, which means you get to shower with all the hot men at the...
Or women. Yeah, that's why I like it.
At the university. And
so tell me
it's
the truth.
Normal to them.
Tell me the truth here, Piper, the lesbian anthropologist. Have you ever... Have you ever showered with lascivious intent at a public gym?
No.
No? You've never decided to linger a little bit on that soaping knowing that, like, some 18-year-old swimmer hottie is going to be coming through soon?
Some pouty anthropologist wannabe?
Never, actually. Of course, I don't typically go to the gym, so that could be part of it, but...
Well, extrapolate from gym to any kind of public showering area.
But there are...
Because there's so many more other than the gym.
Well, you know...
Where are you publicly showering?
The de-lousing stations.
Right.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm not saying I wouldn't do it given the opportunity. I'm just saying I never have.
That sounds like kind of Weasley to me. You're judging me, aren't you? I mean, see, I don't even
no,
really,
she's envying.
You know, I don't even really
only
go
I
there.
Had pre-thought this out. Obviously, there wasn't a forethought on my part.
I mean, you know, I don't know. I don't really go there with sexual intent. It's not like I want to take these people and, like, have sex with them in the same room. I just, like, admire their, like, youthful beauty. It's actually, I mean, they're very pretty to watch, like, naked men.
Do you use that picture later for masturbation rituals?
You know, I mean, I want to say yes. Because it's true. Sometimes, I mean, it depends. I mean, you know, it's if there's some, like, really fabulous, you know, tragically pouty, athletic little 18-year-old buck, then yeah, I think it's it brings a little light to my otherwise dreary existence. It's true, but you know, I do. I try not to make them uncomfortable. I don't like her to stare or leer or whatever. I just sort of steal a glance.
That looked sort of like leering that you were doing.
Really? Yeah. I mean, everything I do looks like leering. Actually, leering or sobbing are my two main expressions.
Well, they're very versatile. Almost every situation can be handled with one of the two.
Oh, God. Let's talk about something else. I feel like I'm on trial here.
So, Corey, giving the chance, you know, if you had the opportunity to be with, you know, nubile young women in the gym showering, you would linger?
Who's that? Who's
you
that
said
director?
Corey.
I'm sorry. I meant Jeff.
Dr. Sexopolis.
Yes, you know. Yeah, Corey, given that chance. What about that?
Well, I mean, I'll answer this question for you. You know, I mean, it's a tragedy that we're all in, like, the United States of America, because although this country is great in many, many ways, it's got this bizarre Puritan thing going. I mean, if we were in France, there would be, like, required daily co-ed showers where you'd have to, like, soap each other up. You know, like, you'd soap each other
just
up.
Just like in Starship Troopers.
Exactly. And then you'd go for a smoke afterwards, and then you'd stay out till 2 in the morning, and then you'd, like, go to a nightclub until 5. I mean, that's how the French live. There's none of this, like, oh, you know, I don't want to see you naked because that violates my personal space. The French are very open people. And so.
And you know this from your years in France?
In France, yes. A French customs agent touched my butt. I'm telling you.
And it was the best moment of your life?
It was. You know, it was beautiful because I'll tell you this. I was leaving France and I was in line at the horrible, like, customs line. And there's like several huge lines, and I picked the line that had the cute customs guy in it because I wanted to like interact with them when I finally got to the front. But because of their, you know, not only the French suave, they're also savvy.
Savvy.
And so they kept switching positions so that nobody could be like bribed or whatever. And so my guy flipped away, and I thought,
The horror.
It was about I was going to have this hot guy like go through my underwear and stuff, and it just didn't happen. But then later in line, the same guy approached me. He was like questioning random people in line, and he approached me. And
did you tell him you wanted a body cavity search?
Well, you know, I think I didn't give him the right code, because he's like, so what were you doing here? You know, why are you in France? And I'm like, oh, I'm staying with a friend, which was good. That's gay code. But I was staying with a woman, and so he probably thought it was my girlfriend. Anyway, the point is, all I know is, I mean, our French listeners, anybody in France should call in.
What's the number, by the way?
Does the signal go that far?
Country code 1. We're on the internet. Country code 1, area code 412-621-9728. He asked me all these kind of routine questions, and I was kind of nervous because he was, like, you know, cute.
Stroking his nightstick.
Cute and in uniform. I thought I was going to go to jail. But then he, like, at the end, he kind of, like, laughed and smiled, and he, like, touched my buttock with his hand and then walked away. Now, what does that mean? Is that how French people say goodbye, or did I miss?
I never got my buttocks touched.
It wasn't quite a
cup.
Yeah,
me neither. Really.
It was a
feeling.
Was it like a get out of my way?
I mean, it was with the hand. I mean, there was, it was definitely, there was
like
warmth.
A football pat, you know, like a.
Mm-mm, no, it was softer than that.
Mm.
And, you know, to this day, like, you know, oh, I got another shit. To this day, like 17 years later or whatever.
He still sends you Christmas cards.
I mean, I could have had sex with a hot French customs agent, but I didn't know the code word.
Voulez-vous coucher avec moi ce soir, I think was what he's looking for.
What song? Is that some song?
Yes.
So, yeah. But it's also odd because it's in French that's either formal or plural.
Ooh.
It could be both.
Interesting. Germans are that way too, I guess. One more question. One more thing about me, and then we'll go back to your sad, sad little. Because I thought I was the only person that did this, but, you know, like, the fact that I'm obsessing about this event that happened, you know, must have been literally 15 years ago. I thought I was the only one until.
But you found another sad soul.
Well, a high school friend of mine is sending me email. Like, he got in touch with me, and he grew up gay and whatever, and he's, like, ultra gay. But but the point is, he's like, yeah, remember that day that I went over your house and, you know, I should have asked you to have sex with me, but I was too shy. And it was weird because I remember the exact day. I know exactly what he's talking about. Like, every, like, moment of that afternoon is, like, etched into my consciousness. And I'm saying there are other men out there who have – I mean, maybe just, like, pathetic gay men who are, like, trapped emotionally in their adolescence. But, like, I've realized at that moment that there are other people that obsess about these tiny little things.
Are you saying all gay men are trapped in their adolescence?
Well, I don't know. I'm saying that of my data set of 2, 100% of them are. And will you, Dr. Sexcopolis, your homosexual emerging like a beautiful butterfly from its chrysalis, or, you know, or from your supposed heterosexual standpoint, do you, or anybody, I'll open this question to the floor. Do you obsess about, like, chance encounters, things that might have happened but didn't months and years and decades later?
Oh, absolutely. Mm. I have two moments to share with you. One is several years ago I was dating this woman. Like, we didn't date for very long. And one night she actually – like, I had made plans with a friend of mine. We were going to go – I was supposed to go to his house late at night and we were going to watch movies. And
watch movies and get intoxicated?
Probably, yeah. Anyway, so I had a date with this woman, and she actually asked me point blank if we wanted to have sex. And it's like, I really can't. I have to go hang out with my friend.
So wait, you didn't have sex with the woman to go out with the man?
Because I'd already had
plans. Or talking about your heterosexuality here?
We're talking about the butterfly.
Right. Well, no, I had I'm a man of my word, and I'd kind of promised that I was going to go hang out with my friend.
Well, so was there some like twisted kind of like power game that you two were playing where you're like – you know, were you wondering whether she was trying to control you, like testing you to see if you would break your plans?
I wasn't thinking that, like...
At all.
Well, in fact, I was. This is the problem. Like, I should have just, like, gone with my knee-jerk, or rather a crotch-jerk reaction.
I mean, but
then she dumped me and we'd never had sex.
Because of that?
No, probably because I was a generally boring person, but, like...
Was she offering sex to both you and your friend?
No, just me.
No. What trend was this? Hmm? I mean, but this was the... I know who this was.
Janet Reno? I should pick someone else. It's no fair to pick on poor Janet. Or Bush. How's it? Oh, Janet Bush. Or Jenna, right. From now on, I will pick on Jenna Bush.
Which daughter is the wild one?
Jenna. Jenna's the wild one in Texas. Okay. And Laura is the calm one at Yale.
But then, aren't they both like...
Yeah, they both got arrested.
Okay. They're not that calm. Wow.
So what was your story number two?
Oh, story number two happened when I was... I guess it was when I was in college. I was like 19 or 20. Like, had a... Like, went back home to the dentist. My dentist always has these very cute dental hygienists. I think it's...
We talked about this today.
Yeah,
dental hygienists are always cute.
By law, I think.
But...
And, like...
Something's... They're, like... Something's wrong with them. They're, like, clones or something.
My aunt was my dental hygienist.
Was she cute?
For, like, a 60-year-old woman, yeah.
Did she put you under the anesthetic and touch you in your bathing suit area?
Not that I know of. But she would, like, fill my mouth with gauze and then ask me how my family's doing.
But anyway, this hygienist, to do her cleaning, bits and pieces kept on leaning over me, and, like, it seemed... She was not a particularly well-endowed woman, but kept on, like, pressing her breasts against me, which I thought, at a time, was, like, not excessive in a bad way, but more
the
than
bee's
like,
knees.
Required. And so I just thought about this for years afterwards, like, should I have said something? Should I have done something?
What would you have said or done?
I have no idea.
I think you dodged a bullet on that one. I mean, dentists are all kind of funny.
Do you rinse or spit? I don't know what I would have
asked. See, those are the kind of situations I don't really obsess over or think, like, what if I did this or what if I did that. But I do use them for fodder, for masturbation for quite some time.
Ooh. Well, that's what I think, too. They're kind of a special gift from the Lord because you can always kind of fantasize that the situation turned out the best possible way.
That's true.
Like, they didn't laugh at your tiny, you know, penis and unkempt pubic hair.
Yeah, we never got to that. Do you shave?
No, I don't shave. I never have tried to shave my crotch
trim
area.
Trim?
Yes.
Shape?
I keep things neat.
Neat and tidy. Including your butt hairs?
No. I actually had a friend of mine who...
Told you you had butt hairs?
No, a friend of mine had very, very hairy ass. Can I say that word? I guess I just did. And decided, well, what the heck, I will just shave it all off. And really, really paid for it in terms of, like, rash and just nasty... things getting caught in his cracular region and so forth. Like, it was a hot summer, and then the itching
oh,
started.
Well,
and the...
Right, because, you know, actually, I mean, people that don't...
Maybe waxing would have been better for that.
Butt hair is actually, like, performs a wicking effect. So I'm serious.
Well, I was going to refer to the lubrication effect, too. I mean, like, if you shave your butt, like, baby smooth, your cheeks kind of scrape against, especially if you're a little chubby like I am. I mean, there's an important...
Hair is, yes, nature's... lubricant or something.
I got a question about two women performing oral sex on each other. Like, we know men don't really like to perform oral sex on women because, you know, it takes a long time and women are complicated and their vaginas are difficult to understand. But, like, do you enjoy it or do you do it as a chore because you love your partner and you want her to have pleasure?
I enjoy it.
Really?
Immensely.
Could you do it for, like, literally?
Hours, yeah. Days, really. That's why I decided I was a lesbian, was because I enjoyed it so much. Like, when my first experience with a woman was, like, you know, I knew what it felt like for someone to go down on me, but I didn't know what it felt like to go down on someone else. And I really thought it would be gross and disgusting and nasty and all those things our culture teaches you it is. And so I'm like, okay, I just want to try it. And this was supposed to be a one-night stand, and just let me try it. And I did it, and it was so much fun and so enjoyable and just, you know, so exciting and wonderful that... I decided, you know, that's what sex was supposed to be like. And all that things I've been doing with men for so long were so wrong. So, and I've been with her ever since.
That's right. This was after your big road trip, right?
Yes.
You told us this story last time on the show. I remember it.
I told you after the show.
After the show?
Oh. Yeah, I'm getting your story confused with the other lesbian we had on the show. There are delightful.
The two that you've had so far.
Our delightful guest from Wexford.
Oh.
Brenda. Who, like, I mean, one of you two, like, met your current girlfriend and you thought you hated each other and you're on a bus and you're all bitter and then...
No. Not the bus. Car.
Yeah.
You're thinking of Brenda.
Brenda was...
There are similarities.
It's very similar because we didn't like each other either in the beginning.
Brenda's was at this political rally in Washington,
But it's true that they both hated each other at first and both in that story and in this story there was, like, animosity?
Yeah. So.
Wow.
Well, I was straight when we met, so... And she didn't like my boyfriend and she didn't like me. I mean, she... Take me or leave me kind of thing, but we sort of needed each other to get to Seattle from Ohio.
Didn't some, like, carny operator, like, bet you or give you money to, like, kiss each other and you did on a bet or something like that?
No, we got married in Madison with a liquor store. Because the liquor store.
Beautiful.
All right, so there was this liquor store in Madison.
It sounds better as a carny operator. By the way,
but, keep that in mind for next time. So we're on this road trip, right? We're going from Ohio to Seattle, and we stop and see some friends in Madison. And there's this. We're walking in Madison, and there's a liquor store with like all of these funny signs out front. Like, you know, one is about killing your father, but don't do it because they'll know it's you from the copy of Oedipus Rex in your bedroom. Instead, make him drink such and such a liquor, and you know, until he dies. Or, you know, these are funny signs.
Oh, this is like some
hints from Heloise. From hell.
I mean, is this some like tragic like PhD history candidate who couldn't get a
job, so he opened the liquor store. So, and then there's this one that said, you know, gay marriages only $4.99, and then celebrate with such and such a liquor for $12.99. You know, and so it was advertising that. And so my girlfriend, ungirlfriend at the time, wanted to call him on it, right, see what would happen. So we were actually with a group of other people, and, you know, I was the quote-unquote straight one, and then there was, you know, another lesbian, another bisexual woman, and then a gay man. And she sort of asked the crowd who would be willing to marry her. And no one said anything, so I said, okay, I will.
Oh, my God.
So we go inside, and we're like, okay, we want a gay marriage. And the guy's like, you're kidding. And we're like, no, no, really. And he's like, wow, you're my first customers. And so he locked up his liquor store, and he's like, all right. And we happen to have a copy of Curve with us because we had so many lesbians with us. And Curve magazine.
Okay.
And so
that used to be Danuv.
Yeah, did before they got sued. But then he said, okay, I guess before I perform this ceremony, you're going to have to prove that you're gay. And I said, well, why is that? Because, you know, straight people never have to prove they're straight when they get married. And he's like, just kiss or something. And then so we gave some story about, you know, we had just eaten Italian food and we had bad breath. So he gives us a free pack of gum. It's a liquor store. They got gum lying around. So he gives us a free pack of gum.
A man who thinks on his feet.
Exactly.
Really good.
And so we chewed the gum, big red. And then we and then he made a kiss, so we kissed. And so then he married us with, he read out of the
Curve. Did one of you end up with two pieces of gum?
No, we pretty much kept it separate. But
what kind of kiss was it, though? Let's go into this.
Well, it was the first
time you've kissed a woman sexually, I assume. Or
well, it was just sort of a long, no tongue involved kiss, like just two lips pressed together very nicely, but not.
With the lips kind of.
A lip.
Caressing each other, kind of pulsing a little bit. And with that, answer that question
was
first.
Like,
were the lips like wet and kind of sliding on each other, or
it was pretty simple. I mean, don't read too much into it.
Her hands.
I'm still straight, quote unquote, at the time. So he marries us. He reads out of the Curve magazine. He even like takes a little piece of paper and tapes it onto his black T-shirt so he looks like a minister. And then he takes wedding shots with us, and then he gives us a free bottle of champagne to celebrate our wedding.
Wow.
So, but that really opened up everything. I mean, first off, to go backwards, like with my, I was with a man for 3 years at this point, and I had told him that if we ever broke up, I'd probably date a woman next because I was just sort of like interested in trying that out. And he was okay with that. Like he was really actually excited about that, and he would get lesbian videos with me, and we'd watch lesbian videos. We'd go to lesbian bars, like all this stuff. So that was there.
That seems counterproductive.
Okay. Well, he just assumed we would never break up, so it would never become a question.
It's kind of bizarre to me. Like, how must it be like to be someone who has enough self-esteem to think that there will be, like, a next date? I mean, I pretty much assume that if my current partner dies, that it's, you know, stroke videos and
the Fruit Loop
until I, you know.
Well, I mean, I think I told him this at a time that we weren't together that long, and it just, like, sort of.
I don't really know if that even addresses my question. Like, you're already thinking, my next partner, I think I'll try.
If anything could ever happen. Yeah, you know,
with
just.
Me, it's like, I think I'll try realist. Anybody that, you know, could stand to be with me.
You could find a French customs officer again.
Yeah, geez, he's probably like, you know, see, the French, they get ugly after, like, age 21 or so. They smoke and they get all skanky. Do you smoke? I mean, it's just saying that they, you know, they're gorgeous. Men and women are both gorgeous when they're young, and then they get all skankified when they grow up. Except for, like, Sophia Loren. She's Italian.
Probably.
Like, are they named Bridget Bardot?
She aged very well.
Anyway.
So the marriage actually opened up this avenue, if you will. We could now flirt with each other, and, like, the people we were traveling with had no problem with it, because there were two cars going to Seattle.
Previous to that, was there any spark between us? Were you, like...
None at all.
You weren't, like...
As a matter of fact, we were, like, dreading going together.
Oh, so there was
very
no kind
romantic
of
romantic comedy, right?
There was no kind of like moonlighting style, like bickering, which
no, it was real bickering kind of thing. And so, but then once we got married and we were flirting and stuff, then all of a sudden it was sort of romantic bickering.
What on earth made you volunteer to be her like lesbian wife? Were you just feeling like funny at that moment, or were you attracted to her at all? Were you thinking she was pretty?
I wasn't. Actually, she was gorgeous, but at the time I didn't think so at all. And so, actually, I'm just very political, and so I wanted to make a stand kind of thing. And
I like your politics, whatever it is. More people should be political like that.
So, yeah, then we went to Seattle, and when we were there, we did the one-night stand thing that just, you know, turned into 5 years now.
Whoa, okay, so let's go back to the one-night stand. So, like, you kissed, and then, like, throughout the rest of the trip, you're driving, you're flirting.
Yeah, we're talking about our lives. We're getting to know each other.
Are there accidental touches? Is she like, when you tell a touching story, does she like touch your knee?
Yeah, there was, you know, a little bit here and there. And like, I fell for her really somewhere around the Badlands in South Dakota. But
it's a romantic place.
It's very much so.
Troopers, so.
But she was always very sort of standoffish, even after that. I mean, like occasionally touching, flirting, but she knew I was had a boyfriend, whatever. She wasn't going to go there. So even for like the one night stand, like I pretty much had a jumper.
Wow. I mean, do I even need to say that we need to
turn the decal knob all the way up to 11 on this one?
So you get to Seattle, I assume. Uh-huh. Or did the first one stand happen on some, like, charming little roadside motel?
Unfortunately, no.
Utah.
It was Seattle. I was staying at her parents' house for a week until I flew up to Alaska to meet my sister.
How'd you end up at her parents' house? Why didn't you even like each other?
We didn't, but she was driving home to Seattle to her house, and I needed a place to stay until my ticket to Alaska came through.
And she, like, offered to let
you
stay?
Yeah, and she was actually, the other two people who drove across with us also stayed with us until they found an apartment. They were moving to Seattle. I was going to Alaska. It was, like, all happy family. So we all lived in her basement of her parents' house.
Wow. And so you crept upstairs one night?
Well, she was in the basement.
Crept upstairs.
So, it was just like we sort of – there was like some – one night we got sort of – she got a little tipsy on margaritas. And she's like very light drinker. Like she drank like half of a margarita, got tipsy. Hmm. And so
– she Asian?
Yes.
Not a stereotype.
And so anyway, there was some cuddling after that. You know, when we went to like this cold place, she forgot her jacket kind of thing. I wrapped her in my jacket, you know.
What? Cold place?
Cold place.
Oh, whoa.
We were looking at the stars outside. It was cold. So that was like sort of, oh, wait, maybe she does like me because she had been standoffish. But then when we got home, it was just like she was standoffish again. I was like. And so like at night, like we were sleeping in the same bed. And so I sort of started, you know, reaching over towards her kind of thing. And she basically, like the first night she was like, you know, no, you have a boyfriend.
Oh, she rejected you?
Yeah, I was very rejected. I told
so
you.
What did you what did
I
you,
had to, like, jump her.
Okay, see, here's the thing. I mean, like, I have been rejected by, you know, universally by all humanity. And so I have a lot of different. So I'm just wondering, like, how you get the nerve? Would you, like put your hand over and, like, touch her? Or did you, like, make some pathetic offer for a massage? Or what?
Well, because she was a little, you know, she was cuddly because she was sort of tipsy. So I started with that and moved on, but she didn't like where it was moving kind of thing. And
moved on, I mean, like, using precise technical language, how did you, what do you mean moved on?
Like in the butt?
You know, towards her breasts and things. And she was sort of, it seemed like getting into it for a while, but then it just sort of got cut off and all done, kind of.
And what did she say? Just
back off.
Yeah, basically she was just like, I mean, she was like, you don't want to do this kind of thing, like you have a boyfriend. But, you know, my boyfriend and I had an open relationship for this trip. I was taking around the country for 3 months. I was backpacking and camping. And so we had agreed to open the relationship up if anything need come to it. And just I would have to call him and tell him after anything happened. That was the agreement.
Does he, like, masturbate during these stories? I mean, is this a weird sex thing?
Kind
of sex power control fantasy thing going on.
This open-minded artist. Like, you know, wonderful at first. Like, this
our
is the whole idea.
I didn't see the quotes of derision put around. The
open-minded artist, end quote. You know, I thought he was wonderful and, like, you know, better than sliced bread. Until, of course, the call came in.
The call came in?
Yeah, after, well, I mean, I'm skipping ahead in the story, but after, you know, I had sex with her, I had to call him and tell him that was part of the deal.
Oh.
And so I called him somewhere in Texas, I think. And, he, like, freaked out. He pulled the Bible out of his back pocket where it had never been, told me I was going to hell, told me I was going to get AIDS, you know, and just, like, completely freaked out. But he was still, living in my house and watching my pets and driving my car. So I was like, okay, we're going to talk about this when I get home.
Watching your gay...
My gay pets.
Miscegenation?
So...
Let's go back.
So wait. Just to finish that sort of boyfriend story, when I actually got home 2 months later, because it was a 3 month trip, he proposed to me, and he said, you know, that thing you did, we can point that over here, and we can go on with our lives. And I was like, okay, that thing, that's my life. So.
So. But I'm interested in this whole, like, so you got the smackdown.
I did.
But it would have been okay if it were with a man, I assume. I mean, had you tested this openness with, like,
no.
Had you ever called him?
No, never. Never called him on it. And, but even in our discussions, like, previous to it happening, he always said he'd rather it was with a woman because, you know, a woman offers me something he can't offer me, where another man offers me what he offers me in his ideas. But evidently it didn't work out that way when it really happened. So I got slapped down.
All right, you got the smackdown. I
did, and so you know that didn't. That was fine. We just slept, and then.
And were your pets having sex with each other under his care too? I mean, that would have been kind of. I mean, if this were like,
you know, when I was in
wacky...
when I was traveling around the country, he did not report that to me whenever I called in, but it could have happened.
Okay. Maybe he was ashamed. Maybe he thought it was his fault.
Maybe it was. So anyway.
So the next night.
So, yeah, it took a while, you know, like, I'm like, okay, maybe she's not interested, whatever, you know. And so it took a while to sort of build up the courage to sort of decide to do this again. And she sort of, you know, said
how
she
long?
Had, well, I only had a week there, so less than a week. I don't know, a couple days, and then I got courage. So we decided to talk about it. And we discussed, like, you know, that this was something we were both interested in, and that, you know, we wanted to try this out, and... Mm-hmm. Everything. And when I was sort of, proposing this to her, she thought that I meant for her to go down on me. Like, this is the one night stand I wanted. And so she was, like, talking about protection, talking about me being with men and all this stuff. And I was just like, wait a minute. Like, you know, do we need protection? Because you've never been with men, you know? Like, and she was like, well, what do you mean? And I was like, well, I thought I would go down on you because, you know, I know what the other feels like, you know. I know I like that. Like, I want to see if I like this. And so she's like, okay.
Wow. Twist my arm, right?
Yeah, exactly. That was pretty much it. And again, like, it came with no strings, no nothing. Like, we're like, this is just a one-time thing, period. No question. Because I was flying away to Alaska the next day. And so we did it, and it was incredible. And
but you took to it like a duck to water, apparently.
I did. And she said, you know, it was the best orgasm she had ever had up to that point. Yeah.
Now, why is that? I mean, like, even though you have a certain intimacy and intuition about your own body, I mean, surely cunnilingus takes practice, and you have to do special, you know, tongue and lip strengthening exercises.
Well, I mean, you know, I guess, A, you do have, you know your own body kind of thing. Plus, you know, I've been performed oral sex on me, so I knew what they did that pleased me. And so I sort of used that. And plus, I had no fear. Like, I didn't know what I was diving into and just sort of dove in and wasn't afraid to get dirty and wet. And, you know, evidently some, you know, experienced women are, you know, a little cleaner about it and a little, you know.
Effete.
Yeah. So evidently it all went well. And then I flew away to Alaska.
Dirty and wet?
Yeah.
We'll talk about that after the show. I don't want to have nightmares.
And so then when I flew away to Alaska, all I could do was think about her all the time. And I was in Alaska for like 3 weeks at Denali National Park. And I just thought about her all the time, but we had agreed that it was just a one-night stand. And, you know, I'm like, oh, what am I going to do kind of thing. And
but why? I mean, you had this strong sexual feeling for her, but did you really have such a great personal connection? I mean, it's not like she was kind of mean to you the most of the time.
Well, we started connecting on the trip, like when we started sharing stories and stuff. And the sexual connection was such a connection, like more than I'd ever had with any of the men I had been with, and just so amazing immediately. And so I was like, you know, I wanted to go back and find out if there was something more there. And, you know, even if it was like a second one-night stand, you know. So, but then I was happy to find out when I called her one night when I was in Alaska. And she said, like, before you say anything, I just need to say that I'm not okay with it being a one-night stand. And I was like, yes! So then I was supposed to drive back with my sister and brother-in-law from Alaska, because they were up there working in Denali National Park. We were driving the Alaskan Trail, and we were supposed to go through Montana to get back to Michigan. And I had to convince them to take a detour through Seattle, which they, you know, at first weren't so hip on. And I kept trying to come up with all these reasons. And finally, I was like, okay, here's the deal. I've had this lesbian experience, and I really want to try it again. And I'm like, oh, okay, why didn't you say so? And so they drove me and dropped me off in Seattle for a week.
Wow.
What? How many? I mean, in order to gauge the level of your friend's devotion, like how many hundreds of miles of a detour was this for them?
For my sister and brother-in-law, it was a couple thousand miles out of the way.
Holy
but, I mean, we were supposed to go.
Moldy.
We were taking a long trip anyway. There was like other places we were going to go, but instead we decided we went to Seattle, and then we went to the Redwoods in California, and then Mexico, and then over to New Orleans, and then back up to Michigan. So we went quite a way around instead of going through Montana and back to Michigan.
Your sister and your brother-in-law?
Yeah.
Did he?
Like, wonderful, wonderful people.
There must have. Did he like? Was he gay? Or?
Did he want to watch?
No, no.
Or did he want to watch, right? I mean, there's only two possible modalities for a man.
Very open-minded, very wonderful.
Wow.
And but my whole, I mean, like...
What have I been doing with my, like...
I have life? Never had a problem coming out to anyone. Like, my parents were, like, overjoyed. Like, like my first, like, the first Christmas that I was out, I was in Seattle. My mom in Michigan sent me a lesbian erotica in the mail. Like, that was my Christmas present.
That's so unreal. So I was going to ask you about this because I find this very interesting because, like, unlike, you know, the rest of us, you haven't really, in some sense, you haven't really paid your gay dues. Like, you didn't suffer as
not
a gay
at all.
Teenager.
Yeah.
And you didn't, like, weren't, like, the total self-loathing.
Yeah,
outcast.
I've been out for 5 years and with the same woman the whole time.
Are you truly a lesbian or are you just, like, I mean, seriously.
Am I just in love with this one woman?
Half seriously. I mean, like, you know, you were, like, a happy straight person and then you lucked on this fabulous woman and now you're with her. It seems like you somehow, like, jumped the queue somehow. I'm serious. Like, do you actually like? Do you? I mean, so let me put in a more positive way. I mean, do you actually feel like an intimate bond with the lesbian community? You're like, oh,
yes,
these women are like me. They share my hopes, my dreams, my
the lesbian community has been very open and wonderful to me. And yeah, I find I have a lot more in common with them than a lot of the straight community. But I also feel like, you know, I'm who I am no matter where I go, and everyone's pretty much accepting of that because they like me. So they like who I am.
Wow. Ellen's new sitcom. Thumbs up or thumbs down? It's not out yet, but there's
going
to be one on the fall schedule, apparently. I don't know why I thought of that. So, 5 years?
Yeah.
You've been with...
5 years this September. But never really... another twist in the relationship, maybe why it's lasting so long, would be that it's almost all long distance.
Yes, how do you maintain that? Like, do you have any... What are your policies? Is it open?
You know, it technically was open in the beginning, but then we decided not to have it open because neither of us were using the openness, but then we decided it was, yeah. We wanted more commitment. And so, no, it's not open and we're completely faithful with each other. And like the first year, like I was in Michigan and Ohio and she was in Seattle for a while. And then we traveled together. We decided to go to Southeast Asia for 3 months together. So we went to Thailand and Vietnam and Indonesia for a month each. And then we came back and lived in Seattle for about a year. But I had my own apartment and she lived with her parents. And then for a while I lived with her and her parents, which was interesting enough. Mm-hmm. And then we traveled again to Europe for a couple months. And then we split up. We decided, I went to grad school here in Pittsburgh. And she went to medical school through Columbia University in New York. But they sent her to Israel. And that's where we've been for the last 3 years. She's been in Israel and I've been in Pittsburgh. So I see her twice a year right now.
That's awful. Letters, phone calls, email, webcam.
Yeah.
Technically, I mean, you could do a little webcam. I mean, I'd like to be the fly on that wall. Right, or lesbian.
Yeah, we don't do the webcam, but we actually, interesting enough, only had, I mean, we've been apart 3 years now, and we recently, like within the last 2 weeks, had our first time of phone sex.
Wow.
It helps now that my roommate's gone more often. So, but yeah, we call, I mean, we're supposed to call once a week, but it ends up being like 3 or 4 times a day. And we email a lot.
So what's your biggest phone bill ever been?
Actually, I use the prepaid phone cards, which are really reasonable and they cut you off when you're done. So, I mean, like you don't have a choice. And then yeah. I found an internet service that was pretty cheap as well, like 16 cents a minute. So reasonable, like probably the most expensive is like $200 in a month. But then she also has $200 a month on her side. So
how open were her parents, her traditional Asian Chinese parents or whatever, to your...
She's Vietnamese.
Oh.
They've come a long way. They've come a really long way. I mean, like, really freaked out on her when she first came out. She came out before I was with her. And
how long have they, I mean, are they sort of one of these families that are like refugees? And
they were, yes. They came over during
sort
the Vietnam
intense,
War.
Painful family background and so on.
Yeah. I mean, but they've built up a lot. I mean, like, when they came over, like, her dad was like a high up politician in Vietnam. They came over, he worked like 3 jobs as a janitor building up. And so now they finally feel like they have a respectable position and they don't want that to come down because of, you know.
I mean, presumably the lesbian interloper, you know, sex criminal would be a threat to all that, I would think.
Right.
Is she the only child?
No, there's 5 kids.
Okay, so she's not like the only hope for children or something.
No, she's not at all. And matter of fact, like I said, they have been really wonderful. They've come a long way. And they sort of don't have a problem with, like in one, like, they'll ask her how I'm doing, and in the same sentence ask her when she's marrying a man. Like, they sort of, like, they understand that we have this relationship and that we'll keep on having this relationship. They just also assume we're going to get married to men and leave normal lives, quote unquote. Matter of fact, at one point they even suggested that I marry her brother, which was really an honor because, you know, he was the only son and it's like quite a distinction, you know, the head of the family kind of thing. And usually they won't let him even like look at anyone who's not Asian, let alone Caucasian lesbian.
That's fantastic. I mean, like, if he were, it would be perfect, right, if he were like secretly gay, right?
It would be wonderful if that were the case, but unfortunately it's not. So.
That sounds like a job for Super Cossack. Get in there and gay things up.
So, but yeah, they've come a long way, and now they're very open and supportive, and I think, like, once we have kids, I think it'll come even farther.
Kids? Where are these kids coming from?
We're planning on having children.
Really?
Each one of us are going to give birth to one. Which was a big discussion also, because, like, okay, I do anthropology, so I'm on the cultural side of things. She has a master's in medicinal chemistry and is now getting her MD, so she's more on the biology side of things. And so we had this debate about the sperm, about whether it was better for... Like, I said that it was better for the kids to look alike so that culturally more acceptable as a family, like, as us as a unit, as a family. She said it's more important for them to have the same biology, the same genes, the same sperm donor, so that they have a genetic relation. And so, you know, for me, I wanted...
Sort of connected to that. You said you want them to look alike. She wants them to be genetically similar, which will make them look alike, I assume.
Partly, but her being Asian and me being Caucasian... So I was saying that I should have Asian sperm and she should have Caucasian sperm, so both children.
Oh,
I see.
So, and she was saying that they both need to have the same Asian sperm.
So have you decided on a donor then?
We haven't. Is there any Asian sperm donors out there?
I mean, I have, like, I'm brimming over with talent and I have no, you know, my sperm, I commit the sin of Onan on a daily basis, right? I mean, my sperm has yet to find purchase.
She's very...
How is your motility, though?
I'm sure.
I appreciate the offer, but I think she's pretty much wanting an Asian father to be more accepted by her family. For both, actually, she wants the same sperm donor. So
you're not putting your foot down on this.
She's more.
You could say he's Asian, but he looks white.
I do have kind of
Asian features. Yeah.
I was gonna say, but like it's an axiom of humanity that mixed kids are always the cutest.
Oh, it's so true. Well, and I said,
Asian kid would be really
to sort of fix the problem, I thought, why don't we have African-American sperm?
That's right.
Ooh.
Australian Aborigines?
Right. And she said, we're trying to get her parents to accept the children more, not less. So.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think that would be a cute mix, too. Both African-American and Caucasian and African-American and Vietnamese, I think they'd be both.
It'd be the most multi-culti
family. Your kids would be like exotic supermodel to make her up.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying.
All right.
Already planning for the next generation.
Exactly. I thought the 5-year plan was enough. But.
Interesting. Oh, so you don't have the problem that I have. Would you be running? I always think about like the traditional problems that homosexuals have adopting babies or whatever. But this would be your biological children, so of course, there would be no horrible nightmare associated with.
Right.
Unless the dad wanted to be involved.
Right, which is why you go to a sperm bank.
No.
Use a turkey baster,
But sperm banks, all kinds of like
riffraff,
CD.
You want somebody who, I'm like at least 2 or 3 standard deviations above the mean in terms of intelligence. I mean, come on.
Do you have proof of that?
Yeah, I'll take an intelligence test if you want. I'll show you my SAT scores, my GREs. It's all like the meter's peg, baby. I mean, I got like a brain the size of Vermont, and so, you know, a little chubby, but that baby. You know.
Does that run in the family?
No,
You mentioned in the past you have the weight problems of other members of your family. So maybe.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess sort of. I mean, nobody's big. Like, I mean, my freakish obsessive mother is always dieting, and I mean, she stays thin because she really works at it, and I've sort of let myself go. So yes, we all have a tendency to creep up, but nobody's like really big. I mean, not that I have a problem with that. I'm just saying.
Nobody's kind of what's really even Gilbert Grape style.
Right.
Saw the side of the house off so she can leave the home.
Exactly.
So have you set a timeline for the babies?
I recently told her that, like, I have a 5-year plan, and in 5 years I want to have a PhD, a wife, and a baby.
And wow. Hopefully you guys will be living in the same time zone at this point, right?
Yeah, we're trying to get on the same continent. She actually comes to this continent in a week.
Well, is she going to be doing, like...
Academic,
medicine, or is she going to be a practicing physician or what? I mean, are you going to actually live together?
Mad scientist?
Or do you have, like, this kind of traditional, like, two-career, two-body problem?
Well, I do medical anthropology, and I study AIDS internationally, especially in Indonesia, as you know from the last show. And she does international medicine, so we'll both be traveling around to other countries all the time. Hopefully that'll intersect at times. And to answer your question, she comes. Her fourth year of medical school is at Columbia in New York, so she'll be in New York.
Oh, good.
So much closer to visit than Israel. But I leave for Indonesia in January for 2 years.
Dope.
So hopefully she's going to come to Indonesia for a while, for like 5 months or something. And we're going to go to Ethiopia together and work at a pediatric AIDS clinic there for 2 months.
I'm excited when I get to Green Tree.
Really? When they change the menu at the Old Country Buffet. Man. So, but
we're going to have to change your name to Piper the Globetrotting Lesbian Anthropologist.
Yeah, really. I mean, although I do have to, like, send my laser-like inquisitive skills into the story. I mean, it seems like, you know, if I were either your caseworker or your therapist, I'd be like... You know, are you in denial about your lesbianism? I mean, you've got a partner who you hardly ever get to have sex with, bottom line.
It's my mystery partner. I don't. There's really no partner. I just make her up.
Well, I mean, I'm just, you know. But
when we do actually get together, we make up for the last time.
Mind-blowing sex.
Yeah, for hours and days, yes.
Wow.
So, and we're looking forward to actually being on the same continent.
Do you have any hot sex tips for our listening audience, by the way?
Yeah, we got a couple minutes left. I think we should close on some, like, ultra... titillating, yet informative and educational.
So do our young lesbian listeners out there. Maybe you have some.
Pre-college kids who are becoming lesbian.
Maybe I mean, Brenda. Although she's probably...
She's at camp.
Sorry. Probably not listening.
Now I'm on the spot. I wasn't prepared for that question. One of my favorite things, though, is naming dildos and vibrators. I think they should have names.
Like what?
I think that helps.
Punisher?
I think it helps for when you're talking, you know, you can flirt with your partner, you know, in public spaces, and you could just talk about them. Like, I mean, one of our vibrators named is Sally, and so we talk about Sally and talk about going home to Sally kind of thing.
Oh, that is very cute. Like, you know, I have a similar rule. When my partner and I want to communicate with someone who we want to say is attractive, we say, you know, oh, is that your friend Richard? And then he can say, no, God, no, that's not Richard. I mean, or you can say, yeah, that's definitely Richard.
Hi.
So it sounds like the same kind of code. Although, I mean, I was wondering more specifically, like, you know, what's like the number one way you can bring a woman to orgasm through her breast, through the vehicle of her breast? Is that possible? Breast-only orgasms?
Well, I think, I don't know if that's possible or not, but I know just from my personal experience with, you know, my one-woman category, that, you know, sucking on both breasts at the same time is a very big turn on. Like at both nipples.
Is it topologically even possible?
It is.
I guess for only certain cup sizes.
Pretty much you can stretch them almost in a cup size.
So there's a pain and pleasure. You know,
use both hands, bring them in, suck on them.
Wow.
And she will probably never forgive me for saying that on here.
I think that's a wonderful, yeah.
Our producer signaled that we're out of time. I want to thank all of our listeners for joining us. Piper, the globetrotting lesbian anthropologist, it's always a delight to have you on the show. This is WRCT Pittsburgh, educating and informing the community for decades. And please tune in next week. Thank you all for listening.